Mr. David for Children's Church. Thank y'all. Thank you. Normally, I would ask you to get your Bibles out and turn to a passage of Scripture, but you won't be able to follow that as quickly as I'm going to go through it. So just look at the screen today. Look at the screen today. We live in a world filled with trouble, an age of crime, disease, poverty, and war. We live on a planet with numerous natural disasters, hurricanes, floods, fires, and earthquakes. We move through our days in a culture around us that is filled with sinful thoughts and selfish actions. Man, we're living in a difficult time and in a difficult place. But that was never God's will. That was never God's design. That is not what God wanted for His people, whom He made and whom He loves. And one day it will all change. And no, I'm not talking about heaven. God did not make us to live in heaven. He built us to live on earth. He made us as physical beings with the intention of us living in a physical environment. He made this planet for us. One day He'll remake it. There are actually two ways in which He'll accomplish this. There are two new versions of earth for us to dwell upon. The first is the changed planet of the millennial kingdom. And the second is the final version of earth, which is a new heaven and earth combination. Yes, as we're speaking right now as Christians, we do go to heaven when we pass away. And yes, we will be raptured or resurrected into this heaven with new glorious bodies when that special day comes. But heaven as it exists right now is not where we'll spend eternity. God's going to change it. He's going to update it. As wonderful as this heaven is, the sin of Satan's rebellion has tarnished it. One day God is going to completely remake it. He's going to make a new earth to go along with it. Now we look forward to that new heaven, new earth combination that's taught to us in Revelation chapter 21. That heaven-earth will be the place of our eternal state. The new Jerusalem will be there, you've seen in the picture, from which God the Father will rule the universe. It's incredible. I look forward to that. But there is another place that's also incredible. That is the earth of the millennial kingdom. That is the kingdom that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 20, as well as many Bible passages. It relates to the actual physical reign of King Jesus upon this earth. It's a 1,000-year reign of King Jesus on a version of this earth in which all of God's promises come to pass to Israel. This kingdom takes place between the time of the tribulation, where God's judgment is poured out, and the eternal state where salvation is completed. It's an in-between time. An in-between time, a time between normal time and eternity. Now, obviously, for those of you who know something of theology, I'm teaching from what's called a premillennial viewpoint. But that's the viewpoint I strongly believe in, and that's what I'm going to teach my church. So let me give you an outline here. The second coming of Jesus comes in two steps. Two steps. The first step, He comes for His saints. He comes in the cloud to gather up the church, to rapture and resurrect all those believers who have ever trusted in Him or who have ever trusted in God in Old Testament times. We will join Him and we will all have glorified bodies. Man, I'm looking forward to that. My back won't hurt then. Your ailments won't be around then. Now, for those left on the earth after this first step of Jesus, there follows a 7-year time of tribulation upon this earth. The Christian church and its influence will have been removed from culture. And without the Christian church input on the culture will deteriorate rapidly. And the Antichrist will rise to power. He will cause major disruptions, and he will persecute the Jews. It's also a time when God's massive judgments will come upon the people of the earth for their rejection of Him. We studied Revelation a few years ago. There are 21 acts of God that come to the earth during that time frame. And it gets worse and worse and worse. Nevertheless, there are people who are saved on this earth during the tribulation. There are people who become Christians during the tribulation time. While the Antichrist is running things, there'll be people who turn their hearts to God. Many of them, in fact. The Antichrist will persecute them too. And many of them will be killed for their faith. They'll be martyred for their faith. All the while, the judgments of God get stronger and stronger and stronger. At the close of this seven-year period, remember the number seven speaks of perfection or completion, comes the second step of the return of Christ. And this time He comes with His saints. And He doesn't come into the clouds. He comes all the way to planet Earth. And His feet touch the Mount of Olives. There is the Battle of Armageddon, mankind's worst revolt. And during this time, as He touches the Mount of Olives, the same place where He ascended with the breath of His voice, Jesus will kill all the unbelievers on planet Earth. They will all die. It's kind of ruthless, isn't it? But these are the folks who are left who have utterly rebelled against God. And when this planet is cleared of unbelievers, He will begin to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will rule this planet from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, and this is called the Millennial Kingdom. In this kingdom, on this planet Earth, there'll be two very different kinds of people. First of all, there'll be all the raptured, resurrected people who have glorified bodies. And then there'll be the Christians who got saved during the tribulation but were not raptured or resurrected because they're still living during this time. But they are believers. They are saved. They will become the subjects of the kingdom. The glorified people, that's us, will be one group. The mortal human beings will be another group. Does that make sense? There's still people who get saved during the tribulation and are not martyred, and they're still there. They're not destroyed. And these glorified people become the assistant rulers of the kingdom. The natural, human, mortal people are the subjects of the kingdom. Now, the natural, mortal people can have children. They're still human. They can have kids. And they do. They do. They have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-great-great-grandchildren. And all of these people are subjects of the new millennial kingdom. And all the while, those who are in glorified bodies, and that's us, we serve as administrators in that kingdom. Now, I don't know how God works that out. Maybe you'll get to rule a neighborhood. I don't know. Maybe somebody will be governor of a city. I don't know. But I do know that the glorified saints are one group who rule with Jesus, and the mortal saints who are still human live as subjects in the kingdom. Now, I'm going to share some Bible verses, and this is going to be like a Sunday school lesson, more than a sermon. And I'm going to tell you up front that I cannot possibly share all the Bible verses that speak of the millennial kingdom. We'd be here all day, and I don't think you guys want that. And secondly, some of these Bible verses come from what's called dual prophecy. They have an historical context where they were partially fulfilled in history, and they have a larger context which they're ultimately fulfilled in the end times. And I'm, of course, speaking of the end times. So we're going to begin. First point about this millennial kingdom, when Jesus physically comes to earth, physically lives here with us, we physically are with Him in glorified bodies, here's the new kingdom. Here's some points of that kingdom. Number one, Satan is removed from the picture. Satan and all his demons are removed from the picture. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit. You don't want to go there. And a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And threw him into the pit, shut it and sealed it over him, so that he may not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. I'll explain that in a while. After that, he must be released for a little while. We always make the devil so big in our minds, and I keep saying to myself, you know, the devil is nothing but an angel. That's all he is. And one day there's going to be another angel that's going to kick his butt. He's going to grab him and throw him into the bottomless pit and close the door and seal it. But that verse is saying that for this time span of 1,000 years, a millennial time span, Satan and all the demons with him, by the way, are sealed and shut. They're not in hell yet. They're in jail. They're in prison. They're in demon jail. They are separated from the earth. And all of a sudden, there's no satanic influence in the culture. There's no demonic possession in the culture. There's no devil or his assistants to give us bad thoughts and lead us in the wrong way. For 1,000 years, there's no evil influence on the culture. Wouldn't that make a difference? During this millennial kingdom, Christ is king over all the earth. Christ is king over all the earth. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I bet you'll recognize this one. For unto us a child is born. Remember, we say this at Christmas a lot. Unto us a son is given. And the what? Government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. There's actually two nouns, but it's Luke makes it into an adjective. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his what? Government. And of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Because King Jesus will keep ruling. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. You recognize that verse? It's talking about the second coming of Christ. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, a descendant, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, a fruitful descendant. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. That was certainly true of Jesus in his earthly visit, wasn't it? He shall not judge by what his eyes see or disputes by what his ears hear. He can't be persuaded by somebody's argument. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. That's justice, judgment. And with the breath of his lips, he shall what? Kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. King Jesus will rule the earth with perfect justice. Wouldn't we like to have perfect justice on this planet? No politician, no anybody, crookedness. Jesus will rule. Jesus will be acknowledged as king over all the earth. He will sit on a physical throne, in a physical temple, in a physical Jerusalem, and from there he shall govern the world. And speaking of Jerusalem, Jerusalem shall be the capital of the world. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills. I'll explain that in a little bit. And people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his way, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem is going to become the most important city because it's the city of the great king. Zechariah chapter 8, starting at verse 20, we have the same kind of idea. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us all, I'm paraphrasing, let us all go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in where? Jerusalem, and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Jesus will physically sit on a physical throne in a millennial temple, and from there will be the one who will teach and to the people how to live. And people from all over the world will come to listen and come to learn. And Jerusalem will be the capital of the earth. And people will come. It'll be a destination for people to come and listen to Jesus and learn how to live. And again, I'm not talking about the glorified saints who have glorified bodies, raptured resurrection. I'm not speaking about them. I'm speaking about the mortals who are survivors of the tribulation, who are Christian, but are still like we are today. Now, as I said, all believers through the ages will assist in governing. We'll have some kind of a role in governing the earth. The Apostle Paul even mentions that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. He's talking about Christians who are squabbling. Churches don't squabble, do they? Yeah. He's saying, y'all can't settle this. Don't you realize you're going to have a much bigger assignment later on? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you not incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know we will be part of the governing body of planet Earth? That's incredible. Old Testament saints, church age saints, and even martyred tribulation saints will aid in governing this millennial kingdom. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to what? Judge was committed. Also, say something else. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, martyred Christians during the tribulation time. And those who had not worshipped the beast, that's the Antichrist, or its image, and had not received its mark on their foreheads or on their hands, they came to life, they're resurrected, they're part of this rapture resurrection, and reigned with Christ for how long? 1,000 years. Old Testament saints, church age saints, martyred tribulation saints, all come with glorified bodies and assist Jesus in ruling the planet Earth. And those who survived the tribulation in mortal human bodies, and their descendants and descendants and descendants, they are the subjects of that kingdom. Does that make sense? That's the only way that this makes any sense. And what's even more incredible, during this millennial kingdom, during this 1,000-year reign of Christ, the nature of all animals and creatures will be changed. God is going to change nature. The one who authored nature, who made all these incredible different varieties of animals and birds and even insects, reptiles, he's going to change some things. We have an example of that in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, eat grass. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the adder's den. You wouldn't let your kid do that right now. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The God who created nature is going to change nature so that all of the land-based animals are vegetarian. Now that's weird, isn't it? But you know, he has the power to do that. He has the power to do that. And Isaiah is painting a picture here of nature being in harmony and at peace. Well, the world will know nothing but peace during this millennial kingdom. Micah chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. He shall judge between many peoples. That's Jesus. He shall judge between many peoples and shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken." Man, that's incredible. Did you know God gave Isaiah the same vision? He's almost the exact same words. Look at Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 through 4. "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains." I promise I'll speak to that. "And shall be lifted up above the hills. And all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Can you imagine a world where you don't need an army? You don't need West Point to train officers. You don't need a Navy. You don't need a Space Force. You don't need a Marine Corps. Can you imagine a world where you don't need a police department? Because there's no need. No crime. No war. No jails. No defense spending. A world at peace. That sounds magical almost. That sounds fanciful, but that's exactly the world that's painted for us in the millennial kingdom. A world of peace because it's governed by King Jesus. United Nations will never be able to do this, my friends, but Jesus will. And then the topography of the Middle East, and particularly Israel, will be altered. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. "On that day, living waters shall flow out from Jerusalem, half of them to the Eastern Sea," that's the Mediterranean, that's the Dead Sea, "and half of them to the Western Sea," that's the Mediterranean. "It shall continue in summer as in winter, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one, and his name one." When Jesus comes to the earth and his feet touch the Mount of Olives, it's going to cause an earthquake, a massive earthquake that is going to change the topography of Israel and the Middle East and cause actually the area that Mount Zion is on to actually be lifted up higher than it is now. And it's going to unleash water from under the earth to become a great river which will divide. It will divide. And it will flow half of it to the Mediterranean, watering that side of Israel, making it flourishing and green. It will actually flow south to what is now the Dead Sea and completely change the Dead Sea. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 6 through 10. "And he said to me, 'Son of man,'" that's Ezekiel, "'son of man, have you seen this?' Then he led me back to the bank of the river. As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other, trees on both sides. And he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region, and it goes down into the Arabah, the desert, and enters the sea, the Dead Sea. Where the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there that the waters of the Dead Sea may become fresh, so that everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea. From Engedi to Engleam, it will be a place of spreading of nets. Its fish will be very many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean, the Great Sea. What is now a Dead Sea will become a live sea. What is now a desert, an Arabah, will become filled with vegetation." God is going to change the topography of Israel. Isn't that incredible? That is something. He will bless life where now there's nothing but salty water and desert. He will completely change it. It'll be the opposite of that. And throughout the world, disease will not exist, and death will be rare. Look at Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, that's what the other guy was prophesying about, and streams in the desert. Now, Jesus did some of that on his earthly ministry, but not the whole worldwide. In the millennial kingdom, it's worldwide. Disease is eradicated. There's no need for hospitals. There's no need for an ER. There's no need for immediate care. Disease will be eradicated and the deformity will be gone. You see, what God does during this millennial kingdom is he erases a lot of the curse that was placed on the people and the planet from Adam's sin. When mankind sinned through Adam, God cursed the earth as well as human beings. That's why Paul writes in the book of Romans, the earth groaneth for redemption. And during this time it will be. It will be changed completely. Well, another passage of Scripture, Isaiah 65, verses 20 through 22. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who dies and does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old. If you die at age 100, you're a young guy. And the sinner, 100 years old, shall be accursed. There will be still sin there. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree, long time, shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall enjoy the work of their hands. Now, obviously, this refers to the people who are in mortal human bodies. Not talking about the folks in glorified bodies who are raptured, resurrected. Talking about those who are born and raised in the millennial kingdom. God is going to change their human nature so that they live longer, just like people lived before the great flood. You know that before the great flood, people lived hundreds of years old? And I think the atmosphere changed with Noah's flood, the flood during that time. A lot of things happened that caused us, our age spans, to rapidly reduce. You know what? God's going to change the atmosphere so all of a sudden people live longer. People live longer. They don't live decades, they live centuries. That's incredible. And it's said for those people that their bodies are changed such that if someone dies at the age of 100, they died as a young man. It's incredible. He will change people's nature. It will be like before the great flood. Well, obviously this passage speaks to the people who are still in mortal bodies. Their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren who are the survivors, who are the Christian survivors of the tribulation. Because they're not yet glorified. They still live in human bodies like we do now, except those bodies are changed. Well, also during this great tribulation, I keep saying that, I don't mean that. During this millennial kingdom, Israel will finally have what God had planned. They'll finally have what God had planned. That dates back to what God promised in Genesis. Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, who you know became Abraham. To your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. Did you know that in God's mind, Israel should be from the Nile to the Euphrates? That means all those Muslim Arabs, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Gaza, they're all squatters on Jewish land. It's not politically correct to say that, is it? But it's the truth. One day they'll be gone, and Israel's border will extend from the Nile to the Euphrates. God will accomplish what he had planned. Amos chapter 9, verses 13 through 15. God speaks about how that land will be. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Can't keep up. Crops are growing too fast. And the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. They're growing too fast. The mountains shall drip sweet wine. That's a poetic image. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, And they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine. And they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on the land. They will have all of that land. And they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I've given them, says the Lord your God. Israel will finally have the territory that God planned for them, and it will be a fruitful, productive territory. It will be so fertile that the farmers can hardly keep up with the crops. Amazing. Amazing. I mean, this all sounds like some kind of fantasy, like some kind of fairy tale, some kind of dream. It's not, because everything God promises come true. It comes true. He keeps His word. Can you imagine a world like this? A place of no crime, no war, no disease, no need for hospitals or jails, a world in perfect peace, an earth filled with prosperity. Did you know that you pray for it right now? You're praying for it. You don't even realize it. You know how you're praying for it? When you pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now there's two ways in which that prayer is fulfilled. The first is the spiritual kingdom of God. That's operating right now. The spiritual kingdom of God is operating right now through the Holy Spirit. When people, men and women, boys and girls, hear the gospel message and receive it in their hearts and get saved and become children of God, that is one way in which the kingdom of God comes on the earth. But there's another way that God has promised, that the physical kingdom of God will come to the earth during the millennial kingdom. And God will answer that prayer. Because one day this very real, physical, perfect rule of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, as the prophet said. Man, that's incredible. But I told you I'd talk about the devil. These people who are the mortals, who survivors of the tribulation, who are saved to begin with, and they have children, they have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. These children grow up in the millennial kingdom. They grow up in a world that has no disease, that has no war, that is at perfect peace, that has fertile land, and the animals are not a fear. They grow up in an almost perfect world. You might say as good, if not better, than the Garden of Eden. And yet every one of them has to make the decision in their own heart to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because they're not saved until they ask Jesus into their heart. Just like we do today. They have that choice. That option. Jesus is physically there in Jerusalem. And they see what kind of world he's brought. But they have to individually get saved. Individually ask Jesus into their heart. And the sad truth is, some of them won't. Some of them won't. And when the devil is allowed to get out of devil's jail, he's going to con those folks. So let's listen to a passage of Scripture. I didn't put it on the screen, but I want you to listen to it. It's from Revelation chapter 20, starting at verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison. It will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog, just means everybody who doesn't know Jesus, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. That's a lot of them. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Can you imagine that people who have born and raised and live hundreds of years in a perfect environment will still choose to rebel against God? Will still choose to rebel against Jesus? That's the depravity of the human heart. One scholar says that this is God's final test of humanity. How corrupt the human heart can be. If they don't humble themselves and ask Jesus into their heart, the devil is one day going to con them into thinking they can overtake and destroy Jerusalem and be rulers of the earth. That won't work. Didn't work during the tribulation when God sent a bunch of judgments on the earth, and it won't work then either. But how sad that is. How sad that is. But for us who are saved now in the church age, this millennial kingdom will be a unique and blessed experience because we will celebrate it in glorified bodies and we will help govern the earth. Man, we're going to have a good time. God has promised 1,000 years of wonder even before the eternal states begin. You see, you have life on this earth as it is now. You have a 7-year time of tribulation. You have this millennial kingdom, and then you have the eternal states. And that's where the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven. That's where God creates a new heaven and a new earth. That's where God's residence, His address, changes. God moves. His place of His special presence becomes this combination of heaven-earth combination. I don't know how to describe that, except there's a new earth and a new heaven. And God changes it because, as we've said before, the heaven that exists now is stained by sin, the sin of Satan's rebellion. But the heaven-earth combination that shall be will be pure. And that's where we'll live. Oh, there'll be mountains and streams and valleys and of course, the wonderful city of New Jerusalem. We'll be able to go in and out of it. That sounds cool, doesn't it? That's the eternal states. And what God's going to do with us then, I don't know. But I bet He lets us govern some more in the universe. But during this time frame, this 1,000 years, this millennial kingdom, we who are saved now get to take place as servants, assistant administrators in that kingdom. And the other people who survive the tribulation and are continue on in mortal bodies, they're the subjects of that government. And that will be an interesting experience because even before this new heaven and new earth begin, there will be 1,000 years of peace on this earth. There will be a time when Jesus will rule this planet earth as king, and the resurrected saints of all the ages will co-rule with Him. And this planet will experience what the Christmas angels proclaimed. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. Let's bow for prayer.